101.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's place to talk. Stand by, Rutherford County. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Alrighty, folks, Action Line is wide open. I'm Nick Cohn, filling in for Bart Walker this morning on this wonderful Friday. And with us in studio is Colleen Fultz. How are you this morning, Colleen?
I'm good.
So we've been talking a little bit and kind of letting folks know what we're talking about this morning. It's mumps and measles. Now, this is something that people may not be 100% familiar with. I think a lot of people have been hearing about it, and they think, is that something I need to worry about? How do I prevent? What happens if maybe that's something that I come across? So we're just going to kind of dissect that this morning. That'll be the conversation. We'll talk about mumps and measles. Why has it been in the news so much lately?
Because there's been an outbreak of it. Tennessee now has some cases, but there's been a lot of cases of measles. There was a couple of cases of mumps at one of the universities in Nashville. And so measles spreads if you're exposed to it. It lives for 2 hours. If somebody comes into a waiting room and they have measles, when they leave, it's there for the next 2 hours.
Wow.
And so if you're not immune to it, odds are great that you're going to get measles. The way to prevent that is to have 2 doses of MMR, which majority of people do have. There's people that choose not to vaccinate, and they're the ones that are more prone to get the measles. But even people that have had the vaccine, if they're exposed, it's not 100%, so they can get it. But the way to protect yourself is to be sure that you've had 2 MMRs. And on a university campus, it should be required before they start school to show that they've had 2 doses. If you're 52 years of age or younger, you should have had the vaccine to where you're immune. We have people coming in asking, do they need to get the vaccine? And if they're if they were born before 1957, they've had the disease and should not require a vaccine unless they're a healthcare worker. And then if they're going to be in the healthcare, you don't want to take that chance of them exposing patients that are immunocompromised.
So you had mentioned if you might not need it. Is that because if you're exposed to it, it's one of those things, if you get it, then you can't get it again?
You have antibodies.
Okay.
And that means that if you're exposed to it, those antibodies are going to raise up there and take care of you. Same as with if you get the vaccine, you have antibodies. So if you're exposed, those should raise up and take care of you.
Now, something people are a little more familiar with would be something like chickenpox. Is it similar to where once you get it, you don't have to worry about it from then on out? Kind of the same idea?
Chickenpox is the same thing. It's a if you get the disease, you should be immune. But we have a chickenpox vaccine too, that you get 2 of those. And what we hope with that is when you go on down the road, that you won't ever get shingles, because you have to have had chickenpox to get shingles. And shingles is an awful thing to get. And
very painful, I've heard.
Very painful, and can lead to lots of other things. So the getting the chickenpox vaccine is a great thing too.
So what is mumps and measles? Let's just dumb it down. What does it look like? If you woke up and you had mumps or measles, what are you experiencing?
Okay. Well, with mumps, you look like you get the swollen glands, like a chipmunk.
Mm-hmm.
You can have, but But you have symptoms for days before. You'll have the runny nose, fever, swollen glands.
And you might think that's just a common cold at that point, right?
Lots of times. It's what people think. And that you can go on with that, and if your body fights it off, you'll be immune to mumps. And you won't even know that you've had it. But it can lead to worse things than that. Meningitis, loss of hearing. The older you are with mumps, it can affect men as far as their, whether you have children or not after that. There's a low case of it, but it can make you sterile if you get mumps as a older man.
So this is definitely something that you want to be ahead of. You don't want to get the mumps and the measles and say, I should have got the vaccine. This is something you want to get taken care of as soon as possible and get the vaccine and not have to worry about it.
Right. Well, people need to immunize their children. And you get the MMR vaccine at 12 months of age. You get your first one, and you get your second one right before you start school, between 4 and 5.
So this is something that you get when you're a year old.
Right.
That is when you nip that. Okay, so if you could explain to folks how the outbreak is kind of happened. Is this people that are not getting immune? Is this not getting the shot? Is that kind of how that played out?
No, that is what I've read, that it's mostly people that chose not to vaccinate. And of course, if there's several, then they expose all of them. Then if you're exposed to it, measles, you're probably going to come down with measles if you don't have antibodies. And then what they base it on is herd immunity. If the majority of people have the vaccine, then you're not going to spread it. But then if you get in a group of people that several of them have not had, mm-hmm. they're going to get exposed, they're going to get it. And then there's some of those people that were immunized that their immune system didn't give them that antibody level, and they will get it too. It'll be a milder case usually, but they'll get it too.
Wow, so a lot to talk about this morning. We'll get into more detail in all of this. We're going to take a quick time out, and when we come back, we're taking your calls, 615-893-1450. 615-893-1450, or you could simply text in any questions you might have. This is something, again, people have been hearing about it, but I don't know that everybody fully understands. They read about it in the news, but maybe they don't know all the levels to it. So we're going to try to clear that up for you here on the Action Line on News Radio WGNS. I'm Nick Cohn, and with us, LPN Colleen Foltz. We will be right back with more.
One of our biggest items on the menu has always been our soup at Demas's. We sell enough soup that we can fill up an Olympic-sized swimming pool due to its popularity. So if you're feeling the cold or flu coming on, have your loved ones stop by and pick up a quart of soup for you, or swing by yourself and just come by and get a quart of soup and take it home and just get under the covers and just relax and enjoy a bowl of soup from Demas's. Hi, this is Peter Demas with Demas's Restaurants at 1115 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro.
Hi, this is Amanda from Animal City, inviting your family to come do business with my family. One of the best things that you can do to keep your pet happy and healthy is to make sure they're eating a good quality food. Here at Animal City, we have a full range of foods that are nutritious and affordable to help your pet feel his or her best. When you come see us, don't miss our underground level with all of our small animals, our adoptable cats, and so much more. Animal City, 919 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro.
We'll see a few spotty rain showers possible late this afternoon with mostly cloudy skies, a high in the mid-70s, and winds out of the north around 5 to 10 miles per hour. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 65.
All right. righty, folks, we got a couple people calling in here. We're going to put you on hold for just 1 second, and then we'll pick up those calls. But we got LPN Colleen Fulton with us this morning, and I wanted to talk a little bit about a big award that you won. Now, we were just talking a little bit about the Child Immunization Championship. You won that. You know a little thing about vaccinations and immunities. Talk about that. How did you get into all that, and what does that award mean to you? That's got to be a great honor.
It is. I'm humbled by getting that. I worked in pediatrics for 25 years, went to work at Merceville Medical Clinic, and worked with Dr. Jerry Campbell for 25 years. Jerry Collins and I, there, Dr. Jerry Collins, we had to order immunizations and work on immunizations, but I'll say when I first started working, we had three vaccines. We did a DTP, which was diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis. We did polio, which was polio drops, the live polio at that time, and MMR. But when I worked and we just had those three, we had kids there lots of times that had the Haemophilus meningitis, chicken pox, all these other diseases that we now have vaccines for. We would see kids coming in having seizures, sick, dying. And then when we got the vaccines, that virtually went away. And my feelings on this is that people today have never seen these diseases, and therefore they just don't realize how dangerous they are, and they hear all these bad stories, and they tend to believe those. I had a doctor say that you don't see people coming out and saying, look how healthy my kids are, they had all their vaccines. You don't see that. What you hear are the horror stories, and people seem to like horror stories better than healthy stories. So,
and it sounds like you're talking about when you're first getting started, you guys had something good and you thought we could do better. We could do this with more diseases and create more vaccines to help more people.
Right.
That's really cool. We're going to open up the phone lines, if you don't mind, and take a couple callers' questions here. Good morning. You're on with the Action Line.
Yes, I've got a couple of questions. I was one that was born before the mid-50s and had measles. But what I want to know is I always heard there was two types of measles, the three-day measles and the German measles. So I'd like to have y'all address that, if that's such a thing. And also about the chicken pox and the shingles, I did have that first shingles shot that came out a few years ago, and now they have a new one. And I'm just wondering, should I go ahead and get that one? And I think I understand it comes in two phases. I just wondered if I...
Okay.
It might be more update. But I thank you very much. Bye-bye.
On your measles question, there is a three-day measle, rubeola, and kids can get that disease. There's not a vaccine for that type of measles. What we cover is, well, it is rubeola, rubella, and mumps is in the measles, mumps, and rubella are in the MMR vaccine. So, yes, there are different kinds of measles. Just like lots of the diseases, there's different strands of it. Your question on chickenpox, the latest that I know on that is this second vaccine that's come out for chickenpox. It is better than the first one. And yes, they're thinking that you need to go back and have that, even if you had the first chickenpox vaccine, and or not chickenpox, but for shingles. And there's two of them. And they have side effects with them, but the second time you get it, it's not as bad as the first, but they do recommend that you get both of them, and that you get that newest one that's out.
So one of the questions I have is, what is the process? And I know it's probably a very long answer, but if you can kind of give us a short answer, what is the process of trying to figure out how to create a vaccine? I mean, I know it's in short term, it's, you kind of expose the body to that, and it can kind of get a leg up, and it like for chicken pox, they'll give you a tiny little bit of chicken pox, right? And then your body can kind of get immune to it. That way, later on, your body's ready. Is that correct, or am I off on that?
That's more complicated. I can tell you what I know about it. Chickenpox vaccine and MMR are both live vaccines. They stay frozen until they're ready to give. And then you mix them, and you've got to give them within 30 minutes of that mixing or it dies. So it's important that the person that's given it knows how to mix and give and when to give it. But yes, it's a live vaccine that your body is going to respond to. You're not going to have a reaction to an MMR or chickenpox for 7 to 10 days, because your body has to it has to get in there and start working, and you start building antibodies. So with kids, when they get their first MMR, you're not going to see a reaction for a week to 10 days. And then they may actually even have a rash like measles from that. But it is not contagious. It's just the reaction to the vaccine itself. And they may run fever, and you can treat the fever. But that's their body building antibodies so that when it recognize, if they're exposed to any of that, and the body will recognize it, and that titer will go up that protects them.
Okay. Well, we're going to take another phone call, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Good morning. You're on with the Action Line.
Good morning.
Hey, how are you? What can we answer for you this morning?
I want to ask you a question about the swapping shop.
I'll tell you what, we just dove into Action Line. If we could hold off on that till Monday morning, or just shoot us a text if you want to text this line, and then we'll get you taken care of.
All right, thank you.
Yep, thank you. The swapping shoppers, I'll tell you what, they are a wily bunch. But you mentioned they and I'm going to ask you this, because I am really unfamiliar with a lot of this stuff. I'm really glad we could have this conversation. I could be the guy kind of steering this, because I really don't know a lot of this. When you say frozen, you're talking they literally freeze like below 32, so it'll keep like a big freezer, and then they kind of thaw it out and put it in the body. Is that similar? Okay. Is that right?
It comes in a little vial.
Okay.
When it's shipped to us from Merck, or Merck is who makes both of those products, they ship it in a container that keeps it minus 32 degrees when it comes to us. And as soon as we get it, we put it in our freezer. We have to keep our freezer monitored all the time to make sure that it keeps it that way, so that when you're getting that vaccine, you're getting something that's going to work.
Okay. And I know a lot of people will say, I don't want to get vaccinated because. If we could kind of lay out some of those scenarios and maybe put those to rest, because I know you mentioned just a minute ago, some people don't want to get vaccinated, but it seems kind of crazy when you put down all the facts. Why do people not want to be vaccinated, and what would you say to someone who's thinking that?
Okay. A lot of people, because you're given a shot, you're hurting their baby. They're bringing their baby in, and they feel like they're bringing them in and to get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, a shot is quick. It does hurt for a second.
Mm-hmm.
And a baby's going to cry when they get in, then they're going to be over it.
That's no different than dental work or anything. I mean, all that is kind of in the same realm. It has to be done, and it's quick and painless.
That's right. And it saves you so much. Or save them, that child, so much misery if you're going to let them go ahead and have the diseases, which they might fly through and do fine and get their immunity, but they also might lose their hearing, lose their life. So it's not worth that. And it's not even worth a week of misery when you've got a vaccine that you can give that will eliminate that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the reason that people now are afraid of it is they hear all these horror stories, or they've never seen it. They haven't seen people that's had it, and so all they've got to go on are the stories they hear, and they need to research it. They need to talk to their doctors, talk to the nurses, and come in with an educated opinion on it.
Awesome. Well, with us this morning is LPN Colleen Foltz. We're talking about mumps and measles. It's been in the news a lot lately, so we thought that'd be a good topic to bring up on the Action Line this morning and kind of go through some of those conversations. And if you have any questions at all, we just took a few calls this past segment, 615-893-1450. You could also shoot us a text message if you're in the middle of something, you don't have time to call, just text us any question you might have. We're going to take a quick time out. When we come back, we're taking your calls and we're going to talk mumps and measles a little further in detail with Colleen Foltz. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Consumer warrior Clark Howard.
We discuss ways you can save more, spend less, and avoid getting ripped off.
Weekdays 11 to 1 here on WGNS.
Good morning. It's still very busy, but moving 24 up through the Hickory Hollow area towards Nashville. There's still a lot of traffic trying to get over on 840 right now towards Franklin, Williamson County. Moving fairly decent out here as we take a look at sections of Memorial right there at Broad. Hey, Smashville Moving Company, they are the new guys on the block. If you need a move coming up this summer or anytime soon, call Smashville Moving Company. Here's the number, 584-4954. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
We'll see a few spotty rain showers possible late this afternoon with mostly cloudy skies, a high in the mid-70s, and winds out of the north around 5 to 10 miles per hour. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 65.
The Action Line on FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. We're Rutherford County's place to talk.
This is Jeff Graham with Tire World. I want to invite you to visit our new off-road department at our Memorial Boulevard location, featuring lift kits, leveling kits, light bars, as well as wheel and tire packages. Just come by and ask for Gator for all your off-road needs. That's Tire World on Memorial Boulevard.
Alrighty, folks, we dive back into the Action Line here, and we have a second guest this morning. Anjali, how are you?
Hey there. Thanks so much for having us on. I'm Anjali Sood. I'm with the PR team. Michelle Hurd and I are the PR team at Ascension St. Thomas in Middle Tennessee. And I'm just so proud of Colleen and the award she's won and the great, important work she is doing to make sure that families know the importance of immunizing their children. And you know, just because you see an Instagram influencer talking about how vaccines affected her child in some speculative story, that doesn't mean that it can argue with science. So it's really important to talk to educated professionals like Colleen about this topic. Go to your doctor if you're concerned, but make sure you take it seriously. And in addition to praising Colleen for her work and her award from the CDC as our Tennessee State Immunization Champion for 2019, I also just want to give a big shout out to all of America's 4 million registered nurses and the more than 3,500 nurses at Ascension St. Thomas. We are so proud of them. It's National Nurses Week. It ends May 12th, so if you have time before that, if you know a nurse, reach out to him or her. Give them a card, give them a hug, a gift card. Let them know how much you appreciate them. It's funny, Gallup has found year after year after year in national surveys, nurses are the number one most trusted professionals in this country before all sorts of other folks, before even doctors. So be sure to give the nurses in your life a big kudos, a big shout out. They deserve it. Thanks so much.
And you had mentioned, and we were talking about, well, same with the vaccine, people like to focus on the one out of a million bad. I think the nurses and doctor, that field is the same, because if something goes wrong, it's, you know, highlighted. But if they do everything right, okay, just another day at the office. So that's something to think about. And again, if you see a nurse, you see a doctor out there, if you see a nurse, give them a hug, thank them, and just remember they're the ones that are taking care of grandma and grandpa and a lot of us, mom and dad, aunts and uncles, friends, and us when we get older. So they do God's work. They do great stuff. And thank you for hopping on the air. See, we asked her a couple times. We peer pressured her, and here she is. You sound great. You got a great radio voice.
Influential people, guys.
All right, so we're talking mumps and measles, and we're going to dive into that just a little bit more in detail here with Colleen Fultz. So we talked a little bit about the process of how that looks, how the vaccine is given, and what the, you know, where the vaccine is before it's given. So you said it's a little vial. They keep it frozen. They kind of thaw it out. And at 12 months is the age for that. They'll inject that into the child, and that should take care of them down the road for mumps and measles. But you had mentioned, and we've been hearing in the news, there's been some outbreaks in that lately. So my question is it a law, or will it ever be a law put in place that you have to have the vaccination? Like, I know there are some vaccinations, it's a law, but maybe not all of them. Is that accurate?
It is accurate. It is a law. Going to school now, it's required before you start school. But there's people that opt out for different reasons that they choose not to. And
why would that be? We mentioned, obviously, they, you know, you hear these horror stories sometimes, but what other reason might there be? I mean, it seems like a no-brainer, and after years and years and years of practice, it seems like this is something that they would want to go ahead and do.
There are a couple of different religions that they say it's against their religion. But majority of people that opt out, they're just not wanting the vaccine. They're not wanting the chemicals, which does not make good sense to me, because anything you do, you're going to be exposed to chemicals. If you buy your children a plastic toy, the first thing a child's going to do is put that toy in their mouth. It's going to have stuff on it. And that baby is going to build antibodies. It's going to... our systems are remarkable. And so we are intelligent beings. And therefore, we've developed vaccines. If you're going to be religious about it, then your entity gave you that brain and gave us that to develop vaccines to take care of us. Just like people will put their kids in cars, knowing that you're at a higher risk of your child being killed in a car accident than most anything that we're doing, but they're willing to do that, but they're not willing to do a vaccine. It doesn't make sense to me.
And I think we've all had a cup of coffee this morning. So the creamer and the coffee preservatives, there's chemicals. You look at the back of a soda, and there's 9/10 of the words you can't pronounce because they're chemicals. And that, I'm not against soda by any means, but it's kind of a not a good excuse, if that is the excuse, that I don't want to ingest chemicals. I mean, air freshener. All the stuff around us is chemicals.
A can of green beans.
Yeah, something as simple as that.
A jar of baby food. You've got to have preservatives. Milk in formulas. And, you know, and then if you, even if you're going to breastfeed, the mom is going to eat food that they're not going to have raised everything that goes in their mouth. They're not going to have prepared the ground to where it has nothing in it that would come up if they raised that vegetable. So I just think it's education that they need. It's just ignorance. They just don't know, and we don't want history to repeat itself. And it will if everybody gets on the bandwagon of not taking vaccines.
We got a listener here wondering, and we're talking with Colleen Fultz, LPN Colleen Fultz, about measles and mumps and vaccinations. One of our listeners was asking if a vaccination is invented, if you guys find a new vaccination, a new way to help people, how does that go into being a law? So let's say the new vaccine is created and it's this great thing, and so many years later, now it's a law that you have to get vaccinated. What's the process for that? Is it basically them just saying that we think it's important enough and being basically convinced that it's important enough to be a law?
There are vaccines out there now that are not required for school but recommended, like the HPV, the Menactra, which is for a meningitis. That one is required for some colleges because if you're in a group setting, like kids in college, and if they're staying up late and not getting sleep, their immune systems go down and they're more likely to get that. But those vaccines are out there, and now what I've seen is that when a vaccine comes out and we start giving that, you start seeing that disease go away or lessen. And when it's proven that it's going to work, and that if you get that herd immunity, I think they have to have that. Now, I don't know all the laws on that. I don't know how they decide, okay, now we're going to make it a vaccine that's required.
Generally, do these vaccines, are they around for a while before they're made a law? Like, for instance, the measles, yes, and the mumps, were they around for a little while before someone said, okay, now it's a law?
Before they made it be required?
Yes. So yes. Are you talking about like a few years, a few months?
Is no, it was a few years.
Mm-hmm,
but we were giving it to people that wanted it. Same as with chickenpox when it came out, was not required for school, but lots of people come in and wanted it because they didn't want their kids to get chickenpox. And then it eventually became that it was one of the required, that they get it the same way as the MMR. You get it at 12 months of age, and then you get it right before you go to school. And the way they come up with the second vaccine needed is the first group of people, they got that first one, and then 3 or 4 years down the road, they started seeing people having measles or mumps or having chicken pox. And so they come back in and give that second dose, and it's like 99% with MMR that won't get those diseases if they had the vaccine. And that's a pretty high percentage. And what they've proven on that is the first vaccine should take care of you, but there's a few people that they need that second to boost, and so they do it for everybody because you don't know which person gets immune and which one doesn't. And so that's why they came back in there and added that second vaccine on MMR and on Varivax.
All right, we got a phone call coming in. We're going to put them on hold for just 1 second. We did get a listener text message that says, what is the truth, or is there any truth behind the vaccine that can cause autism in children? I know that's one that you hear a lot, and we kind of touched on that, but if you could touch on that side of it a little bit more.
I can say that there's no truth to that. That all stems from one study that was done with a small group of children, and it has been proven that it's not so many times over. And actually last year, the biggest study ever done, that there is no relationship.
And isn't autism kind of developed while the child is still in the womb? That's not something that happens after they're born. That's generally something that is decided before they're born.
I don't know when. I just know that it shows up about the same age that you start getting the vaccines.
Okay.
Because they start getting their where they talk and more active, and that's when you start seeing that you realize that there's something wrong. And so it's just natural for a parent to say, well, they were okay until this. Well, they were okay until that developmental stage started, and even without the vaccine, the same thing would have happened, and that's been proven. So
you had mentioned that some of the vaccines that you get a little later on in life, right? Like there may be a requirement for going to school or going to college. How does that all play out? How come some of them you get when you're born, some of them you get a little bit later in life?
Okay. The reason that you give MMR and Varivax 12 months and older and not get it when they're 2, 4, and 6 months is the baby has antibodies from their mom when they first get here. And if we give that vaccine while they still have those from their mom, it won't carry with them. And so if you give it at 12 months and then you give it again right before they start school, they should have immunity for the rest of their life with that. With the vaccines that they get right before they go to college, you're giving a meningitis vaccine. You're making sure that they have tetanus, which a tetanus you get every 10 years. But the tetanus also has a pertussis in it now for whooping cough, because adults can still get whooping cough, and then they give it to the baby, and the baby can die with that, because the baby has to have three of those, 2 months, 4 months, and 6 months. They have to have that third series completed before they get their immunity to the tetanus, diphtheria, pertussis. And then that wanes as you go on, and that's why you continue to get booster shots on those.
All righty. Well, we got just about 10 minutes left in this segment. We're going to take a quick timeout. We're going to check on the weather and traffic. When we come back, LPN Colleen Foltz answers your questions. We're talking mumps, measles, vaccination, the whole nine yards. And if you want to give us a call or text a question, and we just got a new question just now that came in, so we'll answer that when we come back from break. But give us a call or text 615-893-1450. We'll be right back.
Start your day with the early show on News Radio WGNS. John Dinkins and CBS News Radio wake you up weekday mornings from 4 till 6:30.
Good morning. It's still very busy, but moving 24 up through the Hickory Hollow area towards Nashville. Still a lot of traffic trying to get over on 840 right now towards Franklin, Williamson County. Moving fairly decent out here as we take a look at sections of the Memorial right there at Broad. Hey, Smashville Moving Company, they are the new guys on the block. If you need a move coming up this summer or anytime soon, call Smashville Moving Company. Here's the number, 584-4954. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
We'll see a few spotty rain showers possible late this afternoon with mostly cloudy skies, a high in the mid-70s, and winds out of the north around 5 to 10 miles per hour. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 65.
It's Commander Chuck, and it's my goal to get you to and from work each weekday around the congestion and all the accidents. Listen for my traffic reports every weekday morning and afternoon here on News Radio WGNS, and see real-time traffic information at ontimetraffic.net.
This is Frieda Morgan from First National Bank of Murfreesboro. Bazing and Elite Checking from First National Bank of Murfreesboro gives you more reasons to bank locally.
No, I didn't fly to Paris and spend 10 grand on Madame Moreau's elegant perfume.
Bazing helps with ID theft.
First National Bank of Murfreesboro, 2230 Mercury Boulevard, 615-494-4200. Member FDIC.
All right, folks, welcome back. You're listening to News Radio WGNS. This is the Action Line, and we're talking mumps, measles, vaccination. We're talking all of it this morning, and we're talking to some of the smartest ladies in the business. LPN Colleen Foltz joins us. Somebody was asking, and I mentioned that we had a question come in right as we were going to break. Someone was asking about cost. That's another thing that makes a difference in really all factors of life. How much does it cost? So when you guys are putting these vaccinations together, is this a huge number? I mean, I'm sure the research and all everything involved is a huge number. And then what is the cost for somebody like me or you that needs to purchase the vaccination?
Hopefully, if you're purchasing it, you've got insurance. Vaccines are expensive. But there is no reason for children not to get vaccinated if they are uninsured. There is vaccine for children in the state of Tennessee, that all those vaccines are free to the parents if they have no insurance, if they're on TennCare, if they're Alaskan, if they're Native American. All of those are free to them for offices that carry VFC vaccines, and most pediatric offices will do that.
So where do where are they given? Where does this happen? Is this at a hospital, at a doctor's office, something even like a medical clinic something like that, or does it have to be at a doctor's office? You have to set up an appointment. Talk about that a little bit.
Usually you have a checkup before you get your vaccine. So you're seeing a doctor that checks the child over, makes sure that they're growing, that everything is going like it's supposed to. And you give the parents information on the vaccine, tell them what's going to be due that day, and we give it. We can do that in the office. Also, in the past, have had a mobile health unit that when we would go out, we'd have a nurse practitioner, and sometimes resident on the mobile health unit that would be doing the exam, and then we'd do the vaccines on the bus. So.
Okay, so it's readily available. I mean, yes. You don't have to go through a maze to get there. You can contact local doctor, local health physician, talk to them, answer any questions. And it really seems like it's there for you. It's not, you don't have to really go for it. I mean, it's right there. They're trying to provide these vaccines for kids.
Yes, there should not be any blocks to keep from getting that.
We had a listener just text us asking, is there any case where somebody may not be healthy enough to receive the vaccination for whatever reason?
People that are immunocompromised, if they, cancer, okay, with a... Say you needed an MMR, that you had seen that your titers weren't high, but that your wife is going through chemo, and so she's immunocompromised. They probably wouldn't give you a live vaccine until that was over, because you could, not because of you, but because you could expose her to that, and her immune system would be down. And you would want to add insult to injury there. So, but once that had passed, you could get your vaccine.
No. Excuse me. So you had mentioned if, say, a wife is going through chemo, the husband gets the vaccination, that might not be a good mix because they're going to be so close. And that would, of course, go the same for children with their parents. So if the mom or dad is going through chemo or something like that, you may not want to vaccinate the kids because the kids are going to be on their lap crawling around with them right there.
And so if it's time for the child to be vaccinated, what you would need to do, say if it was a grandparent, lots of times it's a grandparent that is going through something, yet you would not want that child to be around that grandparent, say during that 6 weeks that they're building up their antibodies. It takes about 6 weeks from when you get the vaccine to when you're going to get your immunity. And so you wouldn't want the child. But I would, if it was me, I would immunize my child and not have them see grandparent for that length of time. Unless the grandparent, if you knew that they were dying and that it was going to be a short period of time, and then get the vaccine.
So other than like chemo, and I mean obviously chemo, your body is run way down, you know, your immune system is way down, what other kind of factors could be involved, not necessarily chemo but other sicknesses, that you would say maybe don't have the vaccinated child or vaccinated husband, wife by this person during that time?
Tuberculosis, hepatitis, anything that the body's having to fight already to stay alive.
Okay.
Would be that when you would talk to your doctor and say, well, do we need to wait on this, and when can we do this? And that's part of the reason that there's some people that just can't get the vaccine because the child themselves are compromised. And so that's the reason for the herd immunity. If everybody else has done it, then that child's not in danger. But if everybody says, well, let them take care of it, I don't want my child to get that, then, you know, it takes a village to raise, and the whole world is the village, and we've got to take care of everybody.
We just got a good question. I think this will be a great question to end on, as we have just about a minute left. This listener is just wondering about the Tennessee laws, particularly on child vaccination. So she has two kids that are in elementary school. If you could briefly just run through the procedures there. Is that a law in Tennessee for hepatitis, for mumps, measles, things like that?
It is required to go to school in the state of Tennessee to have two MMRs and two chicken pox. And are there exceptions? Yes, there are.
Okay. Awesome. Well, really, really great information this morning. We had a couple different people that just chimed in, said great conversation, really, really enjoying learning more about this, because it's been in the news, but sometimes you hear about stuff in the news and you don't really get the full scoop, or you don't know, you hear it briefly, and it, you know, so this is a great way to answer some of those questions that people may have been wondering about, and I think I learned a couple things as well today.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. As the LPN, Colleen Foltz joining us this morning, and I did a great job. Did a great job answering all these questions. Hope to see you in here again real soon for the next segment, and we'll continue to dive into this a little bit more. Any final thoughts this morning? And if you could finish up on contact information for anybody who might need to reach out to you guys for anything.
I work at St. Louis Clinic here in Murfreesboro, but any of your doctor's offices, you can check with your doctor or your nurse, and just make sure that you can document that you've had two MMRs, or that you're immune by titer, or that you're old enough that you've had the disease.
All righty. Well, thank you so much for this information, and joining us for the last better part of an hour. You did great. Both of you guys did so good. So hopefully see you in here again real soon.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Good morning. It's still very busy, but moving 24 up through the Hickory Hollow area towards Nashville. There's still a lot of traffic trying to get over on 840 right now towards Franklin, Williamson County. Moving fairly decent out here as we take a look at sections of Memorial right there at Broad. Hey, Smashville Moving Company, they are the new guys on the block. If you need a move coming up this summer or anytime soon, call Smashville Moving Company. Here's the number 584.